Good afternoon. Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest on the dance scene and the heart of what moves us. Friends, it is oh so good to be back with you on this Wednesday afternoon. So today I've been reflecting on this question and message, globally connected. What does our tomorrow hold? Well, that is the theme at this year's 33rd Annual International Conference and Festival of Blacks in Dance, which is taking place this week and will be presented in partnership by IABD and Dance Immersion. We're going to be talking all about it today with my two guests. Coming up on the first half of the show, the founder of Dance Immersion, Vivian Scarlett, is here. She's in the house and will be sitting down with me to discuss the IABD conference and festival. And in the second half of the show, John Elaine, educator, choreographer, and leader, is here to discuss his honoring, which will be done at the conference among the honoring of four other spectacular individuals. So stay tuned and stay locked in right here on Turnout Radio. We're going to take a break and be right back after this. You're listening to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. Well, my first guest today, Vivian Scarlett, is an administrator and choreographer whose artistic goals and aspirations are rooted in the love of dance. She is the founder and executive director for Dance Immersion, an organization that supports dancers and dances of the African ancestry with a number of diverse programs. Now, Vivian's contributions to the field of dance are generated from this incredible energy that has fueled her direction, leading her on a journey of over 38 years of giving and serving so beautifully through the arts. Her efforts to connect international Blacks in dance to Canada has resulted in Dance Immersion hosting the prestigious IABD Conference and Festival of Blacks in Dance twice. The event is on now. I'm so thrilled to welcome Vivian Scarlett back to Turnout Radio. Welcome, Vivian.
Hi, Nicole. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Well, it's always a pleasure to sit down with you. You know, I really enjoy calling you Queen Vivian, right? You know, this is our reality. And so welcome back to Turnout Radio, Queen Vivian. It's always a joy to sit down with you.
Thank you. Thank you, Joy, to be with you as well.
Well, it's a pleasure. And we are right now in the heat of things, the excitement of things, as IABD's International Conference and Festival of Blacks in Dance is on right now. But before we get into the excitement, how is Vivian Scarlett doing?
Vivian Scarlett is good. A little tired, but I have a great team. There's a great team working on this whole thing. So we all have our duties to do and lessons work a little bit, but it's all good.
Good. I'm so glad to hear that. And yes, indeed, there is a wonderful team of individuals at Dance Immersion and at large at IABD as well, who have come together to bring the beauty of what we're seeing happening this week to Toronto. And so let's get into it. Let's get into it. We're currently on the ground here in Toronto, home of where the Conference and Festival of Blacks in Dance is taking place, from starting today, January the 25th, running straight through until the 29th. Now, Vivian, of course, we know the event is continuing its legacy as the broadest, really broadest international gathering of Blacks in dance. So let's talk about the mission of the event. For those who are not aware, let's talk about the mission of the International Conference and Festival of Blacks in Dance and how it aims to cross borders, if you can share that with our audience, how it aims to cross borders by bringing together collectives of Blacks in Dance where history, culture, and experiences can be shared.
Okay, I'm going to start with the founder of IABD, the International Association of Blacks in Dance, which is Miss Joan Myers Brown, who is the founder. And it came about when she founded the company just to, you know, back then we weren't allowed to be in a lot of arenas. We weren't allowed to go into classes with other people, with white people. There were a lot of things that kept us from doing what we want to do. But Joan took it upon herself to get some of the other people together that she knew who had Black dance companies and just gather to talk about what we need, what we're doing, how we can support each other. And that's how it began. And year after year after year, it just grew. The founding companies, which was Philodanco, Black Dallas Dance Theater, Cleo Parker Robinson, Dayton Contemporary Dance Theater, Lula Washington, they all supported each other. And every year for this will be the third, we are in the 33rd conference and festival, how they supported each other. And it has just grown and become this thing, this platform where we can all gather to discuss from around the world, to discuss who we are and what we do. It's a great organization in terms of gathering us, in having a place for us to go where we can connect, where we can talk to people who are out there really doing it, advice, many things. I've been going to these conferences and festivals since 1998, where I met some of my idols, Baba Chuck Davis, Elio Pomare, all these people that I have read about, and just to sit down and talk to them, to know and to hear their stories and give advice and to help direct, you know, what is needed now. And back then I was younger and they were older. So there was an exchange of generations. And that continues today. From when I started going, I've seen young people grow up and are now flourishing in dance outside of schools and IABD. So it's a great thing.
And I can attest to what you're saying and say it's had truly such a wonderful impact on the lives of so many individuals, both the organization IABD and the International Conference and Festival of Blacks in Dance, including myself, and having that opportunity to gather and to share. And speaking specifically when you were speaking at the top of your share with regards to the non-allowance at one point, and knowing that we have this beautiful opportunity now to gather, to share, to engage, and to learn from one another is quite a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We continue.
And so this year, the theme this year, globally connected, globally connected. What does our tomorrow hold? I think is such a powerful question in the face, really, of the amount of uncertainty that so many of us have around the globe, and also is a powerful question in the face of our hope, those of us who are truly standing in hope for tomorrow. And so this theme, globally connected, what does our tomorrow hold? Talk to us about the theme and the question.
The theme, globally connected, simply is that, brings us together as a global community so that we expand our vision and our work outside of our little city, our little section of the city, our province, our country. You know, we belong to the world, and such contributions we have made, and we need to, it's important that we connect with one another to expand what our future holds, to discuss what our future holds, to see how we can come together to build a future for ourselves and those coming up underneath us.
Beautifully shared. And so for those who are here and ready and excited to get into what is going to be occurring or what is occurring starting today, in addition to movement sessions, town halls, Vivian, performances and panel sessions, the event is also going to take this opportunity to honor, which is quite exciting, honor five distinguished individuals who've made these outstanding achievements in dance and who have also enhanced this rich cultural landscape and legacy of the art form. And so those illustrious names being Germaine Acconi, John Elaine, Rosemary James, Don Jordan, and Ola Skanks, who are all going to be honored. I'd like to talk to you now about the meaning behind the awards that are going to be presented and also the inspiration behind the choosing of this year's honorees. Can you share that with us?
Sure. It's important for us to honor each other, to show that we care, to show that they're appreciated and loved. It's those who were chosen for this year's awards, the four of them are Canadians, and one, Miss Acogni, who is from Senegal, speaks to who we are. And those who may know or may not know the individuals who have been chosen, who have contributed so much in the field of dance, and help to bring us where we are.
And so this leads me to think of something that we've spoken about quite a bit on Turnout Radio with many different guests about the importance of honoring those folks, those individuals, our ancestors, those individuals who are here and those who have transitioned, and the importance of speaking and continuing to share their name, their legacy, the history, and what they have sown, the seeds that they have sown into our fabric of dance and history. And so it does lead me to think about some shares that have come from Jason Samuel Smith, who shared on the show about the fact that we shouldn't wait. We shouldn't wait to honor one another. We should be honoring our elders. We should be honoring those who are here, those who have not transitioned. And so some really critical words that he has shared in past about the not waiting. And I'm so pleased when I think about the awards ceremony, Vivian, and our continuous striving to talk about the list, the generations of names, those known and even those unknown, those names that have not been archived, and trying to discover who they are as well and what they have contributed. And so the meaning behind these awards, I think, is not only critical in its meaning, but also so vast in thought when we think about the importance of that word honoring and talking about their contributions.
Very much so. It also brings to the forefront the history and the legacy that we have here. You know, everyone's always concerned about what is right now and, you know, it's here, but do we know who came before us? Do we know who has paved the way for us to be doing what we're doing, regardless of what we think? They, you know, the things that they have gone through and endured, you know, We know what the struggle is. We know what the challenges are. And we know what some of the great things that have come out of it, you know, are. And we must honor and remember those who have come before us. Because when we keep saying, I am the first to be whatever, not really. We don't know who came before us. And we are continuing the legacy of those who have come before us and building upon what is truly ours. You know, it is something we must do and learn about.
Absolutely. And amen to that. Amen to that. I'm so mindful. You and I have had some wonderful conversations in past, especially surrounding the archiving of historical measures, those names. We've spoken about this in past, those names that some of us don't even know, names that never had an opportunity to make it into the history books. And so there is quite a danger in saying the first, because then we do ignore those who came long before.
And it makes it look as if we've just started to do stuff.
Yes.
You know, and that is far from the truth, far from the truth. So we do ourselves a disservice.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed. Oh, well, folks, if you are just getting a chance to tune in, we invite you, please ensure that you are following this wonderful international conference and festival of Blacks in Dance, which is on now. You can find out much more at iabdassociation.org. Be sure to follow them. Be sure as well to follow Dance Immersion at danceimmersion.ca so that you can learn more about the event and these two organizations that have come together to continue these conversations. And so, Vivien, as we're talking about the festival and, of course, history and archiving, we want to also let our listeners know, those who are tuning in, that Connectively Moving Our Dance is taking place January 24th, started yesterday and is running into today. We're now into day two. And this event is being hosted by Dance Immersion in advance of the International Conference and Festival of Blacks in Dance. I'm so excited that this is going to be in person, designed to connect us, inform us, and bring us together to develop strategies and to talk about the Canadian focus. And so can you share with us the mission behind the event?
Great, you said it. To bring us all together as Canadian Blacks in Dance, you know, to learn about each other, to know we have a great representation from across the country who has come for Connectively. So those who don't know each other and the resources that people have where they are or don't have and how we can assist each other. It's very easy to say you should, and it's not so easy to lend the hand and support. When one of us succeeds, we all succeed. We just don't seem to get that sometimes, you know? So bringing us together to talk about who we are, what we do, the challenges that we face in our arena so that we can strengthen ourselves and be a part of the global arts community, not just dance, the whole world. We don't live in silos. We belong to the world filled with many different kinds of people and things and dance forms and everything else. So Connectively Moving Our Dance is all about listening, learning, supporting, and bringing our dance forward.
Yes, indeed. And I think, Vivien, it also ties in so beautifully with the theme of the International Conference and Festival of Blacks in Dance in its totality, being globally connected. When we talk about connectively moving our dance, connectively moving forward, the discussion surrounding the global discussion has to enter into that conversation as well.
Definitely.
And I really like the fact that you also touched on this area of when one succeeds, we all succeed. So I really appreciate that, because I think it's an opportunity for us to consider, how is it that we are relating, sharing, encouraging, and clapping for the accomplishments of our community and appreciating the accomplishments of our community? Because yes, indeed, as one foot steps forward, so does the other foot from another body, another individual. And so I appreciate the fact that you have touched on that as well.
Right.
Well, I am so thrilled to have sat down with you today. I am so very excited to continue this week with you, Vivine, and with our global community as we enter into the International Conference and Festival of Blacks in Dance. I'm excited, and I want to thank you. I want to thank you, and I want to honor you as well. Thank you for all of your contributions that you have poured into the fabric of who we are, Vivine, Queen Vivine Scarlett. Thank you for what you have poured in and what you've continued to pour so graciously, so effectively, and so lovingly. You are so greatly appreciated. Honor you and love you greatly. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much, Nicole. It is always a pleasure. I do what I do through the grace of God, knowing that it's supposed to be done. And will be done.
Yes.
Ashe.
Ashe. Thank you again, Vivine. We're going to take a break and be right back with more of Turnout Radio right after this. Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. Well, today we're talking all about the International Association of Blacks in Dance Conference and Festival. And let me tell you, it is exciting here in Toronto. As you will, of course, already know, the event will be taking the opportunity to honor five distinguished individuals who have made outstanding achievements in dance and who have also enhanced the rich cultural landscape and legacy, yes, of the art form. It is my true great pleasure to welcome one of those honorees who's joining us today. John Lane is with us in the house. Welcome to the show, John.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's lovely to have the opportunity to chat with you again.
Oh, thank you. And yes, yeah, we had truly a lovely opportunity to have our first interview together via Tamia Wharton Suri, who had introduced us formally when we had the chance to sit down on the Amani Project. And so now here we are, John, reuniting.
There you go.
Reuniting on the Turnout Radio stage. And so welcome to the show. And also, let me say congratulations to you on being honored. It's so wonderful to see all of you who are being honored in this way. So congratulations to you from all of us here at Turnout Radio.
Well, thank you very much. Unexpected and I feel immensely honored, you know, to be recognized by your peers and by the community. This means a lot. This means a lot.
Yes, yeah. And really, you addressed my first question, which was, how does that feel? How does it feel in this time, especially, and you mentioned your peers, which I think is so, so beautiful when we're being acknowledged by individuals that we stand alongside, who we work alongside, who we've had these wonderful and blessed opportunities to work with. And so how does that feel for you, John, to be acknowledged in this way?
You know, we love these honors, but as you say, when it's actually coming from the people that you live with and the people that you work with and the people that you care for, and you know that they've stood with you and you've stood with them, there's just great meaning. And then, I mean, one of the wonderful things about the form that I've been in my entire life, it at the root, at the core of it, it's about community. It's about collaboration. So you're being honored by your peers that have actually been a part of this community, this group. So you don't do this alone. You don't do this alone. There, you're being honored by your peers, but you're celebrating all of the individuals that that have allowed you to reach this point that you can be honored by your peers.
I think that is such a wonderful thing, because in that honoring space, John, I agree with you wholeheartedly. There is this wonderful opportunity to be so aware that, yes, we are honoring John, but we're also in that honoring, acknowledging all of the people that supported you and getting you to where you are and the people that are part of the community. So it really does feel like a community-wide celebration, even when one or more are celebrated.
I mean, you cannot put on a performing art piece without a whole pile of people all invested in that pursuit. So you don't do anything alone. And I go back, it's in community. So any celebration is shared with a lot of people.
Yes. Well, in that celebration, let's take a step back and talk to little John, to baby John. And to talk... You know, to open that up for our those who are tuning in today, our listeners, to give them an opportunity, to those who've not had a chance to sit down and meet with you and learn about you. You were born in Barbados, wonderful Barbados, and immigrated to Canada with your family in 1965. And after graduating from the National Ballet School in Toronto in 1978, you went on to so many things. And so can you talk to us, please, about those beginnings? Especially, I'm curious to know, coming from Barbados and stepping onto land here and now going forward with your wonderful dance career, tell us about some of those early moments, please, and in that transition from Barbados to Canada.
So the transition from Barbados to Canada, like so many immigrants, you know, my parents made a choice that was really driven by trying to offer their three sons what they thought was going to be a greater life. So the choice was really for us. So one of the wonderful things that my parents installed in me was, here we are. Anything that you want to participate in, you deserve to be there. Be there and make the most of it. So when I discovered dance, it was joy. It was something that ran through my being. And I mean, I had been dancing in my parents' living room from the time I was four. So when I was introduced to the National Ballet School, my parents recognized that, you know, this was something that was driven by talent, by gift, and if I possibly had it, there would be opportunities, and plus this is where I wanted to participate. So 100% they were there. You speak of 1978 graduating from the National Ballet School in Toronto, but I always think of 1971 joining it, and remembering that we weren't long past the civil rights movement.
Yes.
So in 1971, when I entered into the school, I was the first Black Canadian student. So the world that existed at that time was in great flux also, sort of like now. There was great change, and there were always, and I really believe that is an important factor in me getting in, was where the world was at the time. So it's not that you see yourself as some remarkable talent. It was also opportunity of timing. And then I feel in reflection that there were certain perspectives of the world and myself that my parents offered me, that the opportunity of timing was there and I was hungry enough. Mm. So that was, you know, six years of studying at and doing something that I truly loved, exposing me to music and to dance and to a community, and it allowed me to discover so many of the fundamental ideas, not about the form, that I still love and care deeply about.
Ah, what were some of those fundamental ideas? What comes to mind for you?
We started with the idea of community, in that, you know, you wake up, you arrive in the studio, and the first thing you do is a ballet class with all of your colleagues, and you move together. Your heart beats together. You, as much as, you know, there's a sense of a competition within the form, there in the morning, it's not necessarily competition. It is really the tribe of us in this company. What I love about the form at the core, it is about the individual pursuit of a person's perception it is really about their self-perception of their beauty and joy.
Yes.
So it is in that pursuit of trying to move that into this sort of form of communication that utilizes the body. But it really is about a personal, individual discovery of one's own pursuit of what beauty looks like through one's body.
Oh, that's power. I'm taking a moment to let that reign over me, that personal pursuit that you speak of.
And I sometimes, the deeper you go into finding what it is that is expressive, reflective, and beautiful in each individual artist, what is so wonderful about the form is the spectator actually is coming into it. Mm-hmm. We think of performers sort of projecting out, but we actually open up people to experience that idea of that pursuit. So there is really again, community within the expression of dance there, and the notion of dance in being watched. There is the opportunity not only for the group of dancers to take on a common heartbeat, but also the spectators to have an experience of kinetic empathy.
Mm.
And then after a while, their heart beats together. So we start realizing the potential of an expression of beauty out of a community.
Yes, yes. I like the fact that you're mentioning the heartbeat. I speak about the heartbeat very often on Turnout Radio and the rhythm of who we are, that drum beat. Mm. That drum beat that pulses within us. And so I think it's quite a powerful thing as you're talking about the heartbeat and community and what that looks like, especially with the calling in, because you were mentioning the projecting outward that typically we may consider when we're thinking about performance, but in that inviting in, bringing audiences into the story that's being shared, I often think about the fact that that can also put us in a vulnerable place. Those of us who are on stage of opening our hearts to allowing audience members into that story in such an intimate way. And so what do you think about that? When I talk about that vulnerability, what comes to mind for you?
I was going to say power. Because when you embrace, when that is able to happen, chances are you have in your art accepted yourself totally. You've accepted your strengths, you've accepted your weaknesses, and you know that in combination, actually that's what is your human experience. And then it becomes, I mean, for me, watching it becomes graded. It's like there's texture, there's depth, there's coloring, there's rhythm, and so as much as I understand it's vulnerable, but I've experienced it, and I know what it normally does is give permission to the spectator in that moment to also allow themselves to be vulnerable.
Absolutely.
And that yes. is a remarkable opportunity to share with someone. And I also believe when you, as an artist, when you let people in, it isn't as you're not projecting out. You're not creating these sort of stereotypical ideas of what the audience, you're actually looking deeper into yourself. So the expression, the ideas hopefully express truth. And again, when you're expressing truth and normally is varied with strength and weaknesses and colors and shades. And that allows the spectator not to see something that's very surface and very pretty, but something that's very beautiful and very sublime.
Yes. Yes. Wonderfully said. And it creates this, I think, John, this opportunity for us to go deeper. You were mentioning, yes, beyond the surface level, no. to go deeper into the conversations of what that story, for example, that work is desiring to share. So in that space of being potentially vulnerable, there's an opening, that there's a big open opportunity for us to have a deeper conversation, audience to dancer, dancer to audience, dancer to dancer, and be able to really explore the work, the story, the movement, our history, and so much more.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. When you were speaking of vulnerability, so when you release, then you actually are allowing yourself to that journey. So you not only are you merely being amazed by, for example, the physical beauty or the physical strength or the virtuosity of the dance, but you're allowing yourself to see beneath that. And I keep on saying it's, I was explaining it in another piece where we were talking about getting into the secret passageways, getting into what is really underneath and behind the walls, and that, I go back, is range, and range is truth. Yeah.
Yes. And it brings me to think about something that I had seen on your website, a quote: ballet, a collective shared experience of expression driven by human imagination, John. Art can make promise of the possible.
There is something about that word, imagination, igniting that, in that it allows us to not project ourselves into others, but to truly imagine what it might be that is being experienced. And then it almost, again, the performing arts, it allows you to get out of yourself, to imagine yourself in that place. It's quite remarkable. It's very, it's body. We're using, as you said, breath and heart.
John, I think that's quite powerful, quite powerful. And it leads me to think about this quest for this idea, this notion, really. And I'm going to go back to quest, this quest that so many of us, I think, let go when we think about imagination. Because when I think about imagination, I also think about dreaming. I think about the greater possibility. I think about reaching for something. So imagination has this wonderful opportunity to be huge and big and beautiful. And sometimes, in speaking with another colleague of mine, sometimes I think as humans, sometimes we don't allow ourselves to imagine. We don't allow ourselves to do that because it seems like the dream that we desire is unreachable, unattainable. And so there's something that I think that's extremely beautiful about this quote, that art can make promise of the possible, because it's in that imagining that we consider the promise and we can consider as well the possible.
So again, we started with the fundamentals of this form, where you are given ideas and you need to put yourself within them. And you need to allow the imagination of what possibly can be achieved, whether it's on a physical level or ignited, whether it's on an emotional level. So it is, the idea of imagining takes these physical forms, this use of space, this use of music, and it allows or offers an opportunity to create what I keep on calling a meaningful world.
Right.
And in that world, we can project physically, emotionally, socially, what may not necessarily be obvious and clear in the moment. So in the imagination, we can go beyond what actually exists. And that, you can choose which direction you want to go, but it's not something that's immediately evident and clear. So that, if you're searching for something that is so clear and obvious, that's as far as you go. But if the imagination allows us to go to and create and discover what isn't immediately evident.
Yes.
The journey just can be so much richer than what we know.
Yes.
So when, you know, it's been a while that I've been in this form. And as you're saying, when you are, when that is sort of like, it's like a superpower that you seek out, pull out, and the awakening of imagination. And what is remarkable is that idea is so transferable in the way we live our lives.
I believe so too.
The transferable,
that resonates with me, the transferable. I believe
and
so.
That in the experience of dance, and that in the experience of people dancing what is expressing their beauty and their pursuit of the imagination of beauty, that is where I go back. That's where we're able to experience what might not be immediately evident, but makes our lives that much richer.
As you're talking, I'm thinking a lot about dreams, and yes. And what dreams can do, what the imagination can do. And it's bringing me back to times when I would be a young girl in the dance studio with my little braids and my bun. And just how wide my imagination was, how I would imagine in color outside of what I would actually see, the imagination of a child. You know, when you walk outside and you see a tree, for example, you know what that tree looks like, but in your imagination, the tree can be on a cloud floating in the sky. The imagination can be so expansive. And so I think about, as you were mentioning imagination, I think about what that was like for me as a young girl in dance studio spaces. My imagination was so expansive, which led me to dreaming about things that were beyond what even society would tell me was within my reach. And so that's why I was thinking about that word dreams. I find it very interesting that you're talking about this. And I'm curious, when you think about your own imagination and your own career and the trajectory of that, what did you imagine for yourself? Or was there at any point in your career where you imagined, okay, this is what I suspect is going to happen for me? How did imagination, that word, impact the trajectory of your career and where you are now?
That is a wonderful question, because for someone who, yes, I think I spend quite a bit of time in that sort of openness of imagination. But when I look at the trajectory, and this is really sort of reflective of the career, I see myself as, I see it as there are dreams, but I also realize when I need to find new dreams. I always, when all of a sudden it is completely comprehensible and it's understood, I've had a tendency to say, okay, well, that's it. Move to the right, bring it with you, and create a new dream. And it's like there's something in my personality that loves to be at the beginning of the dream and loves to, but I go, the wonderful thing is I try to bring along what I had experienced in the other space. But to turn it on the other side, I think a certain amount of that has to do with just practicality. Yes. I think a certain amount of that has to do with racism. I think it is reaching a point where I just so desire to have that dream and to have the imagination that when I see something has reached its ceiling, I don't want to put my energy totally in beating it down. I move to the right. I move to the left. And I, as I said, I bring it along and the dream has started again. And that, again, on reflection, I see myself. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. You've moved. Oh, you've shifted. Oh. And each time you arrive at the place of possibility, the imagination has been opened up.
Yeah.
So, there's that truth of when the ceiling happens, you know, when you realize that, oh, that's it. It ain't going to happen anymore. Maybe, race has gotten in the way. And I am working in ballet. But what you were speaking about, the necessity for the imagination is so important to me that I move to the right.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. the difference about, or the thing that I think I've learned from my parents is when I move to the right, you need to bring all of the experience and wisdom and love that you've had mm-hmm. with you. So that you already have that foundation, that platform to expand, to ignite your imagination once again. And that I thank them for. And I think that is what has allowed me to continue, as you said, dreaming.
Yes. Yes.
I'm being practical, which is the understanding that everyone has a unique pathway. Everyone has a unique roadmap, and you cannot follow anyone else's roadmap. And, you know, mine was about, as you said, which I really, I'm going to steal from you, was the dream, was the imagination.
And I really enjoyed talking about this because I found at times as I grew up, sometimes dreams, as dancers, as artists, sometimes dreams have a way. And even in our imagining, sometimes the world has a way of kind of crushing that down.
There you know? Go.
Yeah, crushing it down. And so what ends up happening is that we don't dream to the degree that we used to. We don't imagine to the degree that we did as children because we've now entered into the reality of real life.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is that society and issues and global climate sometimes can impact those dreams and visions and ideas and the imagining. And so what I get excited about as I'm listening to you talk and as I come back to this quote that you share, that art can make promise of the possible, is that I think that it is this wonderful reminder, promise of the possible, a wonderful reminder that at whatever age we are, at whatever stage in our career, that there is still great opportunity to imagine, to dream, because our art can make promise of the possible.
One of the fundamentals is that you are creating a world.
Yes.
And when you are creating a world, you have the ability to manipulate those issues or qualities or ideas that get in the way. And I'm not saying you can get rid of them, but you have the ability to manipulate them. You have the ability to place them in a way that they become trampolines to move you up and ascend. You create your own laws, you create your own world, you create your own ideas. So as a creative artist, and you look at the work that in the Americas, especially, that people of color and Black people have done, you build out of your community, you build out of who you are, and in the conditions and opportunities, they force you to look at it from your specific perspective. And when you create your own meaningful world that includes you, there are huge new possibilities.
Yes. Yes. Beautifully shared. Well, John, here is to new possibilities.
There you go.
To new possibilities.
I
am
it.
so fortunate and feel very blessed that your pathway has crossed with ours and that we've had, and I've had an opportunity to sit down with you and to exchange with you, to share with you, to imagine with you. John, I thank you so much for the time that you have given me today, and more so than that, what you have poured out into community, to the world, to this art form, to our hearts. From our hearts to yours, John, congratulations. And thank you again for sharing with us today. Oh, how I wish this show was 4 hours long, because I think to myself, wow, do I have so many more questions for John Elaine? So we have to have you back and sit down and have more exchanges with you. But I thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much for having being interested to have this conversation means an immense amount. Thank you very much.
Truly my pleasure. Thank you, John. Today you've been listening to the sounds of Cannonball Adderley with Autumn Leaves and John Coltrane with Blue Train. Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. Friends, that is it for today's broadcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Such a pleasure to have you all here with us. And a very special thank you to our guests today, Vivian Scarlett and John Elaine. What a pleasure it was to sit down with the both of them. Be sure to check out the 33rd Annual International Conference and Festival of Blacks in Dance at iabdassociation.org. And follow Turnout Radio. We're going to be there on the scene. Be sure to follow us on social media so that you can get caught up and get an opportunity to check out all of the highlights happening this week. Technical production of today's broadcast was facilitated by the absolutely fabulous Amber Downeyback. Join us again next week, Wednesday at 2 p.m. EST. Visit us at turnoutradio.com to learn more about our show and for more dance news. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance.
CIUT 89.5 FM, the sound of your city. Stream us anytime at www.ciut.fm.